Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness, Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. The union never disappears. The union can't disappear. The union is who you are. What ends up happening is we become unconscious. We lose our connection with the truth. And so, in order to stay in that union, we simply have to stay conscious. When we get blown around by, oh my God, this stress, oh my God, that, oh God, I have this, oh God, I have that, and therefore, oh God, I have money to have that. When you get blown around by that drama, you lose your consciousness. And all that matters is staying conscious. So keep coming back to it with every breath. Every breath, come back to it. Reconnect. Reconnect. And reconnect. Because that is you. Yes. It isn't anywhere. And as your mind goes, as your mind says, but, that's the intellectual mind hijacking your heart. There's always a but. We're all good at that. Yes, I know that I am one with God, but. I know that grace is there. But we all have a but. The but is the story. The but is the drama. When I first met Pujya Swamiji, I asked him about fear. And he told me, you fear because you don't trust. And I gave him my story. And it's a good story. True story, I mean, true in the sense of the plot of the life of this body. And it was a story that for my whole life had gotten me lots of understanding and love and sympathy and for everybody to get the but, yes, but. And Pujya Swamiji looked at me and he said, are you going to carry that to the grave with you? Means not just the pain, the fear. It's the story. It's the whole thing. And the question is, how long are we going to stay attached to our butts? How long are we going to stay attached to the story of why that which is true doesn't apply to us? Why that which every scripture, every sage, every saint, every yogi, every rishi has taught doesn't apply to us? Why our story, our mind, our drama is somehow exempt from the universal truth? And I'm sure your butt is great. And I'm sure that if we went around, everybody would have an equally great butt. The question is, how long are you going to hold on to that? Because all the butt gives you is a good excuse. That's all it is. Here's why I'm not stepping up to the plate of my life. Here's why I'm not living in love, in joy, in truth, in union. Here's why I'm not able to serve as a vessel, a vehicle for the divine will to flow. Here's why. And we spend our lives telling ourselves the story and reinforcing each other's story. And we say to each other, oh, ho, 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 ho. Come here. Oh. And it feels very good because it feels like, oh, yeah, you understand what. But the highest compassion is actually not reinforcing someone's drama. The highest compassion is extending a hand and saying, if you want to walk through that doorway, I am here for you. And if you don't, I'm going to love you just as much anyway. So I'm not going to force you to walk through it. But I'm not going to stand there in your story with you. And so your choice is, do I know that this is truth and spend my life figuring out how to live it every minute and clearing all of that away that isn't truth in my mind, in my life? Or do I excuse myself for an unlimited number of days or years from doing that because I've got a good story? And that's up to you. It's up to each of us. And what I would encourage you as someone with a good story to someone else with a good story is it's much more beautiful on the other side of the doorway. And regardless of what your butt is, regardless of what the story is, it doesn't matter. Because there are games of the mind, and the mind's agenda is only to stay in charge. So the mind is going to tell you whatever it thinks you need to hear, not to live in your heart. It's going to give you all kinds of reasons, all kinds of stories. And your job is to just keep dropping back into the heart. You're not fighting the mind. You're not yelling at it. We're not angry at it. We don't hate it. We're not annihilating it. We look at it, we smile, and we drop straight back into the heart. Straight back into the truth, straight back into awareness and consciousness. And that's your choice. And then the but becomes an and. It's simple but not easy. And it's what we're here to do.
You're listening to OTRFM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, In the Circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. That happiness is something that comes only from within. And I actually want to take this back to you because as you've been with us for the last several days, we've had the beautiful opportunity to journey together with you from a state of 43 years of misery and despair into beautiful and exquisite happiness, and then into hell, and then we'll journey together back into happiness. But what happens for us is that when our minds kick in, because as I was saying either last night or the night before, you can't be happy tomorrow or yesterday. You can only be happy in the present moment. This whole illusion of pursuing happiness is actually creating the problems. It's convinced us that happiness is something to be pursued, which means by definition, it's not what I have now. And so we spend our lives pursuing happiness and never finding it. We become like the dog chasing its own tail. And so the only way into happiness is inside. And yet, as the mind kicks in its patterns, in its yesterday and tomorrow, in its last year and next year, in its my childhood and, oh my God, my future, it pulls us out of it. And so there's a few different techniques to keep us experiencing that joy of who we are. The first is just to be conscious, to be aware, mindful, every minute, every moment of the breath. Because you cannot be in your thinking mind and be deep, connected to the breath, to the heart, simultaneously. And so if you can unhook your attention and your awareness from the spiraling of the mind, the dramas of the mind, the expectations and frustrations, why did this one say this? Why didn't you do this? What about you? What about you? Rather than that, if you can stay connected to your heart, stay connected to your breath and ask yourself in this moment, right here, right now, everything is okay, right? Right here, right now, in this breath, not in your thinking mind, right here. Right now, in this breath, you're good. But then the habits come in, the patterns come in. We go back onto autopilot, back into those grooves we've created of stress, of jealousy, of victims, of whatever our story may be, our thing may be. We get provoked, someone says something, someone does something, we've got an expectation, they don't fulfill it, we lose ourselves. Come back to your heart. And whatever it is that's brought you into hell, forgive them. Forgive them. And let it go. Not because whatever they've done is okay. And I don't mean necessarily the they of just the last 3 days. The hell may be they of the past, but now that I'm remembering again, it's being triggered again, it's coming up again. But whatever it is that has happened in my life that creates the patterns of hell that I live in, we have to forgive them. You have to let it go. Because otherwise, you keep creating that hell for yourself over and over and over again. They may have created it for you once, but now you keep creating it consciously, voluntarily. And that is like saying that just because someone was horrible at one time, maybe it was yesterday, maybe it was 43 years ago, but just because of that, just because that person or those people lied, cheated, abused, betrayed, harmed, that now you need to keep abusing yourself every minute of every hour of every day. No. You deserve to be free. And that happiness is only going to come when you are free. If I say to you all right now, who's happy to be here right now? Raise your hand. Okay, good. We all are. But if I say to Ratanji back there, close and lock that door, nobody's leaving. Suddenly, the collective happiness will plummet. Suddenly, all we'll start thinking about is, oh my God, I gotta get out of here. Now, I was very happy here because I was free to be here. But same place, same situation, if I simply lock the door and lock you in and announce nobody's leaving, that is enough to turn heaven to hell. Beautiful experience to hellish experience. Simply the deprivation of freedom. And so you cannot be happy if you are not free. Last meals for people on death row, right? You know, I mean, they always give them this last meal to eat whatever they want. And I've always wondered, does that really taste good? I mean, really? Knowing that they're locked up, they've been locked up in many cases for decades, knowing that within 10, 12 hours they're going to be killed. Seriously, does pizza taste good? Seriously, is the brain actually giving any kind of joy of any kind of meaningful level? I don't think so. I've never read or heard of any prisoner saying, wow, that was great. I'm so happy. Now I can die. That meal? Oh, fantastic. Now I'm happy. You cannot be happy unless you are free. And so as long as that which someone or people or the universe did to us, because sometimes it may not be a person, sometimes we may blame God, we may blame the universe. But that which was done unto us, or that which we were deprived of, that has created our hell, until and unless I can forgive them and move on, your happiness will always be as temporary and shallow as somebody living on death row getting a pizza. You have to allow yourself freedom. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what happened. Doesn't matter what they did, you did. This is the beautiful teaching of Mother Ganga. She flows and she flows and she flows and she flows. Water that is stagnant festers. That's where diseases come from. When water stops flowing, that's when the water develops bacteria. We drink it, we get sick. Mosquitoes breed in it. They bite us, we get sick. When the flow is stagnant, it breeds disease. And similarly within us, when we grab hold of something in our lives, and hold on to it with this death grip, we stagnate. And it creates dis-ease. Sometimes literally physical diseases, if not just emotionally, mentally, a state of dis-ease. So we have to let it go. You cannot rewind the past. Whatever it is. And again, remember, that doesn't mean it's okay. But the beautiful thing is, we're not the karmic police. God is not relying on us to hold a grudge so that someone gets their due. Whatever people do, they'll get the karmic result of that. We don't need to hold on to it to remind God, remember, they're due for something. This guy did this to me. We don't need to hold on. Your responsibility to yourself in this lifetime is to be free. And so on Valentine's Day, can you love yourself? Can you give yourself this gift? If a doctor told you you had a tumor in you that was going to kill you, and the operation was going to be not fun, a bit uncomfortable, maybe slightly painful, but eventually you'd heal and move on, would you allow the tumor to kill you, or would you have the operation? What would you do? It's a hard question. Well, think about it. Doctor tells you you've got a tumor. If you allow it to stay in your body, it's going to kill you. But the doctor can remove it fully and successfully. You just have to be prepared to deal with the temporary pain and discomfort that any operation is going to have. But you've got a 0% chance of risk of death. There's no regular operation in the world that can guarantee you that, but this operation can. Zero risk of death. Zero risk of complications. Would you do the operation, or would you let the tumor kill you? It's easy to answer. Good. So what's the answer? Yes, you'd have the operation. good. So that's exactly what you are being offered. This hell that you are creating for yourself is that tumor in you, and it's going to kill you. It's stolen 43 years of your life already. You told us that the other night. How many more years do you want to give it? But there's an operation. But you have to be prepared to let go of this tumor. You have to be prepared to let it go. And to stop identifying as the home of the tumor, the one with the tumor. You've come to this sacred place. Let that sacred surgery happen. Give it to Mother Ganga. And yeah, there'll be a temporary experience of discomfort. Because when something has occupied so much of you for so long, grudges, pain, misery, there's the sense of like, who am I now? But into that space, grace flows. You know, in physics, they teach us the universe hates a vacuum, right? That's why you create a low pressure situation, pressure's going to come in. In the same way, when you remove something, it's taking up too much space. Into that space flows grace. So that same law about the universe hating a vacuum, it applies spiritually as well. You clear yourself of that tumor, grace is going to flow in. All the space you can create in you will be filled with grace. But you have to be prepared to let it go. Because you know where this is taking you. You've done it. You've done it over and over again. Every time you have a thought of misery, a thought of jealousy, a thought of anger, a thought of regret, a thought of that memory, you know where it goes. You've gotten on that plane how many times? Probably a million times in 43 years. You know where it ends. It ends in hell. You've taken that trip. Now you need to say enough. I'm not getting on that plane anymore. Let it pass when those thoughts come. Because they'll come for a while. It's a pattern. It's a sanskara. It's a groove. Those thoughts will come. They'll try to drag you back. But it's like if you're in the airport and a plane is boarding. It's not your flight. And it's going somewhere you don't want to go. You're not going to get on just because the plane's at the gate. Just because they're screaming, last call, last call. You'll be like, yeah, thanks, no problem, go ahead. Close the door, I'm not going. Not my flight. In the same way, when those thoughts come. Because they are vehicles that take you places. Every time you have that same thought. Of the memory, of the pain, of the anger. It's a vehicle. And we know its destination. You told us in your question, hell, destination, hell. Why do you keep getting on that plane? Use your free will. You've come here for a reason. The universe has brought you here. Mother Ganga has brought you here. She's brought you here because she wants your tumor. She's begging you for it. Give it to her. Give it to her. You've carried it long enough.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization,
Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation. We're striving, as we were just talking about, for perfection within ourselves. He said, but should there not be certain things that disturb us? So for example, if money came here into the ashram and some corrupt person who was working here siphoned it off, shouldn't we be disturbed? Of course we should be. However, we should be disturbed only as a catalyst to bring about a change in the system that permitted someone to siphon off the money. And this, you can go bigger. Should we be disturbed by world hunger? Absolutely. Should we be disturbed by women dying in childbirth simply because they don't have money to have access to medical care? Absolutely. Should we be disturbed by our rivers being polluted? Our trees being cut down? Absolutely. However, should that disturbance shake me up so much inside that I am no longer able to be anchored and grounded in the true spiritual perfection? No. And the reason for that is that I actually, if I'm going to be a useful, impactful, efficient agent of bringing about change in the world, the only way I can do that is from a grounding in peace. There's way too many activists, volunteers, NGOs out there who mean really well. Honest, good people, forget people siphoning money. I'm talking honest, good people. We actually have to take it beyond the picket signs, beyond the petitions, beyond the social media sharing and forwarding, beyond the screaming and yelling, into actual, grounded, efficient, effective action. And so the disturbance should be a catalyst, and that's where it's important, because otherwise, in general, people tend to be lazy. So if I'm not disturbed by seeing children starving by the side of the road, chances are I'm not going to do anything about it. And so the disturbance, the tears that well up in my eyes, sometimes people say to me, you know, how can I find peace, find joy in the midst of that which is happening in the world? And I always say, the highest calling with what is happening in the world is not to be able to be so peaceful that you can sit this one out. To be so peaceful that you don't need to step up and engage. The time is not there now for any of us to sit this one out. Every one of us must be engaged. But we must be engaged from a place of internal peace. My favorite personal story on this is when I first came to India and Pooja Swamiji took me to see when I first came to India. And we had gone to see schools in the slums that they had come to Pooja Swamiji for sponsorship. It was these beautiful schools, tiny little schools in slum areas, 10, 11 schools of kids in the slums. They had no money to run. They had come to ask if we would sponsor them. And so Pooja Swamiji took me to see them. And that evening we get back to the ashram in Delhi and I'm sobbing. I can't breathe. I can't. And it's dinner time. And he says, have dinner. And I'm crying. I said, I can't eat. Oh, my God, I can't eat. These kids. And he looks at me and he says, are your tears helping them? I said, of course not. But, oh, my God, I can't eat. You know these kids. They don't have food. How can I eat? And he says, your tears are only helping yourself. He said, through your tears, you feel very good about yourself, that you are a very compassionate human being. He said, that makes you feel good. But your tears are not actually helping the children. He said, if you really want to help the children, eat your dinner, go to sleep early, and get up tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and figure out how you're going to raise enough money to sponsor 10 or 11 new schools. And I love that story because it's the perfect intersection of being disturbed as a catalyst, but not being able to actually be effective in my state of being disturbed where I can't eat and I can't sleep, but actually needing to be able to find that peace, find that anchoring, find that grounding in which the divine flow of the universe can flow through us. At that time, it was very simple to know what was needed. Money. The schools needed roofs. They needed floors. But in life, as we move through the world, it's not always so easy to know exactly what's needed. But the universe knows. The divine knows. Everything in nature is created perfectly. And if we can just align ourselves with that divine flow of the universe, then it flows through us and we actually become able to be tools, vehicles for the divine. And so absolutely we should be disturbed. It's a beautiful question. We should experience that. But in the face of that, at the time of that, we should be able to be anchored and grounded so that it's not about our ego. Otherwise, as I go out to serve, I join an NGO, I form an NGO, it becomes all about our own ego. Becomes all about, Pooja Swamiji always says, logos and egos destroy so much of the important work that needs to happen in the world. And if we actually can work as clear vehicles, clear vessels for the divine to flow through, then without that attachment to logos and egos, then we're able to eradicate, yes, corruption and thievery, but also violence, environmental destruction, all of that which is happening in our world, and for which each of us is actually being called to be a vehicle of transformation. So if you find yourself disturbed, if you find yourself sad, if you find yourself angry, don't try to push it away, but see how that can be a catalyst for action. But ensure that you, as the one doing the acting, are still grounded and anchored in the perfection of the universe. And then you'll be able to actually be able to serve beautifully.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. The pervasive epidemic of the human mind. So don't feel badly. This is everyone's situation. He says, when we were meditating at the beginning, you were speaking about withdrawing the senses, focusing on the breath. He said, but if I do that, my awareness wanders. And it wanders unconsciously. He said, so how do I bring it back or control it from wandering if what's happening is unconscious? And it's actually very beautifully simple. Stay conscious. The nature of the subconscious mind is absolutely to do that. This is where, in all of our techniques that bring us into meditation, whether we focus on a candle flame, we focus on a prayer, we focus on a word, we focus on a mantra, we focus on our breath. It's all about bringing the awareness to one thing, to keep that mind from running around, to be conscious, to be mindful. Because if I'm conscious and mindful, I have that control. The minute I slip out of consciousness, the subconscious mind takes over. And yeah, it loves to run, but it isn't actually out of our control. So follow me for a moment. Here's what an example looks like. You're sitting and meditating, and suddenly you smell toast. Maybe your roommate or a family member is making toast, okay? You smell toast. Now, there's two choices in that moment. Option one, I stay conscious. And I say, smelling. Or, toast. And I bring the awareness right back to the breath. I stay fully conscious in it. Fully conscious in what smell came. I don't analyze it. I don't judge it. It has come into my awareness. I acknowledge it. I return to the breath. Option two is toast. Hope it doesn't burn like last time. Oh my God, last time, cannot believe he almost set this house on fire. What am I going to do with that kid? Seriously, how many times do you have to teach them to stand there and watch the toaster? Oh my God, and yeah, and he broke my blender last week. He was trying to spoon, seriously, in the blender? Like, who gave that kid his brains? You know, I really, really should have sent him to that other school. This school, useless. Now, toast, school, kids, like, where have I gone? Now, that all, from the moment that I let my mind wander into toast land, I was finished. Now, if I meditate for a while and I've got a good practice, at some point along the way, I'm going to be aware I have run away. And I'm going to bring it back. But I've lost those precious moments. And sometimes it's 20 minutes later. Sometimes it's, all right, come next September, he's in a different school. That kid is going to have a list of responsibilities. No allowance this week until he, that next toaster, he's going to buy it out of his allowance. So I am reparenting. I'm spending my meditation time coming up with all of my new keep your kids in control technique. Not a bad thing to do by any means. But not meditation. But the only way to prevent that from happening is to stay conscious. The minute you lose it, it's a very slippery slope into total unconsciousness. This is where we have to be vigilant, really vigilant about staying conscious. But here's also a good way to practice. Don't only practice in your 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or 10 minutes or whatever it may be of meditation. Practice all day. Whatever you're doing, do it mindfully. As you walk, instead of using having to walk from one place to another as a way to be looking at the phone and checking your messages. First of all, it's dangerous. There's incredible statistics of the number of injuries and deaths of people due to looking at their phone, so don't. But don't also use it as an opportunity to window shop, or ruminate on all the things that went wrong in the meeting you're just coming from, or all the things that could go wrong in the meeting you're going to. Use it as a way to be mindful. You have to walk from one office to another, one building to another. Even just the driveway to the house, walk mindfully. You're drinking a glass of water. Do it mindfully. Don't do it while you're on the phone. Stop what you're doing. It only takes 30 seconds. Drink it mindfully. Try to bring in more and more moments during the day that you can bring the awareness back. It'll become a beautiful cycle. Doing it in meditation will help you do it in your life, and doing it in your life will help you do it in meditation. But stay conscious. Stay conscious. Stay conscious. And the minute you notice that your mind has wandered, just bring it back. Don't yell at it. Don't berate it. Just bring it back. It's like how to keep the autopilot from kicking in. We'll keep the pilot awake and alive. Right? I mean, the autopilot doesn't take over an airplane until and unless, I don't know exactly how it works, but presumably there's some system whereby the pilot gets up to go to the bathroom. An autopilot kicks in. Or the pilot has to lie down and go to sleep, autopilot kicks in. Or the pilot has a heart attack, God forbid, autopilot kicks in. So if you don't want autopilot to kick in, you keep that main pilot awake, alive, present. If you don't want your subconscious, unconscious to kick in, keep your conscious mind awake, alive, present. He said, it's always a fight. Don't call it a fight. Don't go to war with yourself. Think about it as an opportunity. It's an opportunity. You've got these different beautiful aspects of the mind. The difference is one of them takes you where you want to go. The other takes you only where you've already been. The subconscious mind cannot take you somewhere new. It runs on autopilot. Only that which you have fed to it, or in most cases someone else has fed to it. Because our subconscious mostly is programmed in very early childhood. So our subconscious takes us where we've already been. That same misery, that same fear, that same depression, that same not enoughness, that same place we've already been. The conscious mind takes you where you want to go. And the reason that you know that is because you're deciding. So when you decide where you want that conscious mind to go, that's where it takes you. Every time you go with the subconscious, you're going where you've already been. It's wasted time. So stay conscious. And yeah, it's a challenge. Not a fight, a challenge. Yep. An opportunity to stay conscious. But start now. And then in the next moment, start now again. In the next moment, start now again. Every moment. And the payoff is, aside from the beautiful spiritual possibilities of what you actually can experience when you are present, is that you also give yourself the only possibility to experience not just enlightenment and awakening, but actually happiness, peace. All of that we're looking for in life can only be experienced when we are conscious. This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.